Poppy and Primo's grandmother had been killed in her house in the village of Hrašanep just before the end of the war in 1996. She was killed by people who lived on and worked her land. They had robbed her village store of cash and food and taken it in big sacks to the rebels hiding in the mountains and killed her because she knew who they were. The neighbors saw and identified them, but there is no justice in Guatemala. They paid their way out of jail. Poppy had left Hoyabac angry, fearful of the assassins, and fearful of himself and what he might do. Poppy's case for asylum in the U.S. had been denied in the immigration court because he had left after the end of the war, after the election of 1995 that was certified by the U.S. State Department as democratic and fair. For the U.S. government, that meant Poppy should have stayed in Guatemala. Now, Mama had petitioned immigration for Poppy's visa. But Poppy knew people in Hoyabac who had not been granted their pardons, who had never received their visas, and who were now living in Hoyabac, separated from their families, left behind in Providence, instead of the other way around. Betsy had met Poppy the day he arrived in Providence, only a few months after Primo had arrived. She met him in the hospital, where Primo lay in a coma. While Primo was in the hospital, she had gone every day to interpret and oversee his care. His father, standing with her at Primo's bedside, knew she had no children of her own. He was himself critically ill. He said to her, "Aquí tienes tu hijo. Gracias por haberlo tratado como si fuera tu hijo." Here you have your son. Thank you for treating him as if he were your son. Some years later, when Poppy brought Nena over to present her, 4 months old on Christmas Eve, he had said, "Aquí tienes tu nieta." Here you have your granddaughter. When Betsy's cat died, when Nena was two and the family was living in the flat downstairs from hers in her two-family house, Poppy left a kitten in a basket inside her back door for her to find when she came home from work. She ran down to find Poppy with a huge grin on his face. "What are we going to name him?" "He already has a name," Poppy said. "Lucky." Lucky, because he was the one who got to come home to live with Betsy. Ahead of his trip, Poppy had sent home to Guatemala a late model, shiny white, four-door Toyota pickup truck loaded with gifts for the family. He picked Betsy up in Antigua, and it was late by the time they got to Hoyabac for the welcome dinner, chickens that had been pecking in the patio now in the soup. As they came into the center of town, busy with traffic even at night, they had to stop at the traffic light. "Did you know before you saw it that Hoyabac now has a stoplight?" she asked Poppy. "Did you ever imagine that it would?" "No," Poppy replied. "He could never have imagined that." But he continued, "The most surprising thing about being home was that he had felt no fear. He had been worried about the truck, about people envying it, about having it stolen, or even being attacked for it. La envidia mata. Envy kills. Instead, people came up to say how nice it was. And would he sell it?" Poppy's youngest brother, a teacher, had started building a house with help from Habitat for Humanity on their mother's piece of her family's land in Hrašanep. Hrašanep is the first village on the road going out of town, which continues on past Palibats, a road that used to be dirt all the way to Guatemala City. The road was paved now and lined with new businesses. Across from Poppy's family's house in town, there was now an indoor soccer and sports venue, and next door was a swimming pool club. Feuerbach was noisy, with trucks and buses rumbling by the house from early in the morning, even before the roosters crowed, until late at night, even after the dogs had stopped barking and gone to bed. While Poppy waited 10 months for his visa, he and his brothers fixed up their mother's old house and built 3 more for a family compound in Rashanep. They put in electricity and water, fruit trees, and greenhouses with a crop of tomatoes. They dreamed of opening a bakery where their mother could work. Maybe it was time to move the family back to the countryside. On the night they told her that Prima's father, Tio, had died of cancer, she had had a restless sleep, as she often did while she was on chemo. In her dream, Tio came and stood at the foot of her bed and said, "Yo tuve que morirme, pero tú tienes que vivir." I had to die, but you have to live. She had family to take care of, family who would take care of her. Poppy's mother gave her a weaving in bright yellow with purple letters that she hung on her wall when she got home. Amor es vida. Love is life. The most surprising thing about being back in Huayabac, Poppy said, was that ya no se siente la maldad. You no longer feel the evil. What Betsy felt, because she chose to, was the love. That had been enough to sustain them, and it had sustained her. She did not come from Huayabac, but she had been lucky, because she had found it, and it had found her in Providence.